And then go about our lives just feeling really, really sad because none of the teams we like are very good. Another edition of the Air Raid podcast put on by the writing team of VivaTheMatadors.com and SB Nation blog. We got so much stuff coming right at your face on this wonderful Sunday afternoon. We're going to be talking Baylor, talking a little Iowa State. But first, we want to make a little announcement. As you might have noticed, our good friend Wes Shaw is not with us this afternoon. He is He has taken off from VTM. He just had a bunch of stuff in his personal life. We wish him Godspeed and pray for us now because the inmates are running the asylum. We're about to burn this place to the ground. So let's go ahead and start it off. I'm going to kick it to Jonathan with first question. Oh, shoot, sorry. Jonathan Reiner here with me. Say what's up, guys.
Hey there.
I would just like everybody to know that my wife is having the second kid in our family, and I'm here to podcast somewhere in the hospital and not actually with her at the moment. So that's how much I love Tech football. Let's go.
We are truly and well out here, people. All right, Jonathan, give me some general thoughts on the Baylor game and how that went.
Well, I was actually at the game. I was able to get some pretty good seats. The first thing that I noticed at the game was there was a lot of kind of cautious optimism. A lot of the people I was around were not feeling too great about the game. And then it started, and that feeling went even lower. And then the game continued, and it went even lower. And by, I believe it was early third quarter, what was a standing crowd was a pretty quiet and sitting down crowd, at least on the red and black side. So it definitely took a lot of wind out of our sails yesterday, Saturday afternoon. It wasn't fun to be at. I'm not too big of a fan of playing college football in that stadium anyways. And a sub 60,000 crowd was pretty quiet, it felt. But as for the game itself, we got our butts kicked, as our glorious head coach would have love to have put that if we were on the other side. We just got beat. We didn't execute. I think we were out coached a little bit, and I know there were a few grumblings of some play calling that wasn't exactly what we wanted to see, and we got hit a little bit with injuries this week, but it's just one game. It was a top five team. We could bounce back. We've got Iowa State back at the Jones for a homecoming game. Just like a week ago, we couldn't let that TCU game get to us. We can't let this Baylor game get to us. Good news is we don't have to play a top five TCU or Baylor again this year.
Yeah. All right, Ryan, what's your take on it?
Well, I was actually out coaching a doubleheader, and I didn't really get to see anything until late. I just got updates on my phone, and it looked like the game was pretty out of hand pretty early, but the one thing that I was going to go into the stats and see, oh, well, we only have 100 yards of total offense, and we're just not keeping up. And I felt like as far as stats go, we were. It's just we kept, you know, killing ourselves with 17 penalties for 140-some-odd yards and four turnovers, and just seemed like every chance that our defense did get a stop, we weren't able to capitalize, which is a running theme for Texas Tech football lately. But overall, it's a top five team, like Jonathan said. I think we had such an emotional drain. I didn't want to admit it last week, but we did have an emotional drain from the TCU game. And I think with everything being in front of us, we've got seven more games. there's a reason why it kind of turned out the way it did in the later part of the game, with Baylor taking their foot off the gas and Texas Tech really not interested in trying to fully get back into the game. I think everybody just said, all right, it's as Jerry Seinfeld once said, with horse race, it's all the same oats. Let's just finish. Let's just kind of move on to the next week and go from there.
Yeah, I kind of got that vibe too. And to be completely honest, that was my emotion. Like, as soon as Baylor went up as short as 28-14, I mean, you could just tell that we weren't in it. We lost Lauderdale really, really early and had Tony Brown, who played incredible for a true freshman. But man, he dropped a pass in the end zone that would have knotted it up at 21, but instead, you know, Baylor scores in the next, you know, negative 3.5 seconds, because they're an unbelievably fantastic football team. Dude, what they can do is unbelievable. And like that's the best team we'll play all year. And even TCU, like, I'll say it, I'll take the flack, whatever. As of right now, on October 4th, 2015, Baylor is better than TCU.
It's not even close. Yeah.
Yeah. They're a great, fantastic football team. And I think that defense is a little bit underrated. I think the fact that we were able to put up like something like 600 yards and 35 points is actually pretty good. Defensive line is nuts, and they're going to do a lot of things. But speaking of playing a bunch of true freshmen, how do y'all think that the injuries really affected us? I mean, no, we got Sadler out. Mahomes is pretty hobbled, and Lauderdale went out like really, really quick in the first quarter. Ryan, I'm kicking that one to you first.
I think the fact that Kingsbury didn't redshirt all these guys to begin with says something about their talent level and how he believes in them. You know, same thing with Eric Morris. Just kind of, I think they're going to do great. I don't think we're going to miss Sadler. Obviously, he's kind of that, what I call Wes Welker 4.0, 5.0 if you count Jordan Davis. It's kind of the next iteration of that slot inside receiver with speed. And I think we're going to obviously miss Lauderdale's deep threat. But the way, you know, Zach Austin stepped up, the way Tony Brown stepped up, we have a couple more. Kiki QT, who hasn't really been a dominant force yet, but he'll get more reps. And I think just them gaining experience is going to be huge for us. Kind of after this beating, there was talk amongst the writers about, well, what's going to happen next year when we lose Grant and we lose half of our offensive line and we lose all these guys? And, you know, this experience that they're getting to play while there are injuries is going to be huge. And I'm really excited about seeing – everybody's excited about recruiting. Well, here we go. We get to see right off the bat what we got.
Yep. What's up, Jonathan?
Yeah, a lot of that I agree with. And it's one thing to ask a young kid to start his college career and play on the big stage against Sam Houston State in Lubbock. And it's quite another to say, okay, here you go. We're going to be throwing to you a lot. And by the way, this is Cowboys Stadium. It's a nationally televised game. This is where a lot of your heroes are playing tomorrow. Well, not this week, but later on this season, obviously. And yeah, it's a big stage. And to see Tony do as much as he did, even with that drop and then the fumble, which I have a lot of problems with, but I'll talk about that later. It was good to see him able to step into that. And we've seen a lot of that from Pat Mahomes. He doesn't seem to shy away from the big stage. And I think a lot of that rubs off on his teammates. And that's going to be really helpful with a younger receiving core that we're going to be going forward with if Sadler doesn't get back. Because although he wasn't a veteran or anything, but he had probably some of the most experience of some of our receivers. So it'll be interesting to see how the next couple games go. If we can't go forward with Lauderdale Sadler, and if Cantrell can't come back either, but like you said, it's up to Brown and QT and all the other young guys to take this forward and score those points.
Man, I don't even think we need to recruit offensive line anymore. Honestly, we could put, you know, a bunch of mannequins and tackling dummies out there, and Mahomes could still probably get the pass off. He legitimately was pressured on probably about 75 to 80% of those snaps. Like, the play just broke down. Baylor brought at least seven, just about every single time, manned up. And when they're able to get pressure like that, and they're going to when we're only blocking with five people or six if you count Devin or do you count DeAndre Washington every now and then, like, man, there's just not a lot you can do. We got to have some of those blitz beater routes. I was actually kind of disappointed with our play calling. We called a bunch of deep passes, but man, like, it seemed like there was nothing underneath or over the middle. There was no like real safety valve for Mahomes at times. And that kind of sucked. Kind of put him in a bunch of really, really tough situations. And I mean, they did it to Webb too. You're like, all right, here are your options. You can throw deep to the right, or you can throw deep to the left. Yeah, we don't really care if you get picked. It's okay. We'll figure it out. It's like an arm punt anyways. But I don't know. I kind of struggle with that a little bit. So I feel where you're coming from. But, you know, the past is the past. It is over. Thank God we are out of the slaughterhouse that is away game at Arkansas, home game against TCU, and then neutral side against Baylor. So coming out of what is easily the most difficult part of our schedule, how are you feeling?
I'll go ahead and start this one off. But I know before the season started, we said that we'd be happy with taking one of three. And that's what we did. It hurts now. But if you would have told me 6 weeks ago that we'll be 3-2 going into a couple of the easier games on the schedule, I think most of us would have gladly taken that. But it does hurt to score as much as we did in the past two games and have nothing to show for it as an official record. It's bad. It hurts, especially with some of the injuries that we've been accumulating over the past couple games. We've got a long season ahead of us. We don't have a bye week until after our 11th game. I kind of have a feeling we might treat these next two games as partial bye weeks, kind of dress rehearsal games. Nothing against Iowa State or Kansas, but they're Iowa State and Kansas. I don't know what the point spread is yet on any of those games, but I know Baylor goes to Kansas next week, so that should be an interesting test to see what we might be able to do against them. But if Baylor's already run up 100 on their scoreboard, then that might be a no-go for us. But yeah, it's gonna be okay, guys. We're gonna be good. We wanted to get back to a bowl game, and we've got a really good chance of getting there.
Yeah, I think it's mainly it hurts about as bad as the 7-5 season after we started 7-0, and I think that just comes with expectations. To be quite fair, I don't think many people thought that we'd go into Fayetteville and win the way we did. And when we did that, came all, you know, sorts of expectations from a fan base. And when that comes and it doesn't go your way the next couple of games, that tends to bring you down even harder than you were before, or to a different level than you were before. And I think, like Jonathan said, we've got seven games left. I think, you know, we could easily be an 8-4, even a 9-3 team. I think, you know, with UT being down, Kansas State not as strong as they were a year ago, Oklahoma State is obviously vulnerable. You know, it's a really opportune time to be in this spot. Red Raider, I was talking to a friend of mine, if we don't beat UT this year, it's going to be tough. You know, the last couple of down seasons they've had, we've never been able to beat them. We haven't beat them since 2008. And, you know, this will be one of those times where we can start getting some of those wins and start getting ourselves in a really good position for next year.
On the subject of Arkansas, I would just like to point out that we held them to 24 points, and so did Tennessee. And A&M held them to 21. So by the completely scientific metric of the transitive property of college football, we're at least as good on defense as A&M and Tennessee. You can take that to the bank and use it how you will. But enough of the past. Let's move on to the future. How are you feeling about Iowa State? Ryan, I'm just going to kick this one straight to you. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. I feel like we definitely need to run up the score early and get our starters off the field. I don't want to take it too lightly. I know where Jonathan's coming from, but I don't think we should necessarily sleep on Iowa State, or we're going to be finding ourselves 3-3 and starting to wonder about bowl eligibility. We need to go out and handle our business as quickly as possible. Do it like we used to do, where we put up 45 points in the first half and we're up by, you know, 4 touchdowns, and all the backups come in the second half and we get off the field. I think that's one thing we saw in the Baylor game is Kingsbury just said, we already lost Lauderdale. We're not risking Grant. We're getting them off the field, and we're going from there. So I'm feeling really good. I think we're going to go into Norman 5-2. I'm still thinking that we beat TCU. But 5-2, and we have a good chance to get some revenge on Mayfield and just kind of put him in his place, because I'm tired of hearing about that guy.
Yeah, I agree with pretty much everything you said there. Not to take Iowa State lightly, I think we did a couple years ago, and it came back and bit us. They're a Division I football team. They just put up a bunch of points on Kansas, which Kansas is still a Division I football team too, and they do have athletes. It's not like they're running mannequins out there. So we need to take them seriously, but also we need to get back to our style of game. Need to go back to our air raid and get a lot of running yards in that first half, and score some points and let the defense take the ball away from Iowa State for us, and go up by 30 or 40, and then put the secondary guys in and get those younger guys some experience. In case we need to rely on them later on this season, it'll be good to have that. In past years, we haven't been able to do something like that. So we just need to go out there, take care of business in front of a good crowd. The weather's looking like it's going to be really nice next weekend. I think I saw like 70s and sunny. So it'll be a nice fall weekend in Lubbock. Good for some Red Raider football, and I'm sure the Jones will be loud like it always is.
I'm looking forward to not having to watch a 5-hour football game. Don't get me wrong, I love the air raid, but when both teams are running it, it just makes that process so much longer. And, I mean, our past two games, I swear each of them have been about like 4 hours and 30 minutes. And as much as I love Tech football, I'm – kind of ready to go to a little bit of a slower pace. Hopefully we see some slowing down in Iowa State.
It's definitely exhausting. Yeah, it's really exhausting. When it's 21-14 and 3 minutes are off the clock in the first quarter, it's just like, oh my gosh.
And it's taken 30 minutes.
I need a beer.
Are you serious right now?
Yeah, it's like...
Oh, it really is a huge bummer. All right, favorite moment from the past week. Jonathan.
Favorite moment. Well, for me, I haven't been to a Tech football game in quite a few years, other than the Baylor Tech games, and I was able to sit with a bunch of good Red Raiders, and I had missed that. So for me, it was just being able to sit there with those guys. Talk Red Raider football, and join in the boos when that Baylor backup kid came in. It was nice to be among family again, and while my family by blood were sitting on the other side, way up about 500 feet higher than me, but I had better seats than them. And it was good to see that, and then I was able to get a pretty good video of the tortillas. They were strong as ever, and it wasn't even in Lubbock.
Nice. Ryan, I know you weren't there, but what was your favorite moment of that once you got to watch a couple highlights?
Yeah, I put on the Raider Read a few days ago Sean Oakman's interview about LaRaven Clark and saying how, yeah, he's all right and he'll get your hands on you quick, but I've been watching film and I've got a few things for him that'll pretty much saying he's going to put him in his place. Brandon Jackson tweeted, interesting, very, very interesting. And it was just really great to see the crackback block on him where he had to leave the game and by LaRaven and basically saying, what you got on film for that? Because I think you need some smelling salts after that big block. So that was my favorite. That made it all worth it, was that he just got put in his place by LaRaven. So that was great.
Yeah, and I saw Mahomes faked him out on that touchdown trot that he had. He kind of deked him out a little bit, which was pretty funny.
I mean, I loved both of those moments. Those have to go into top two for me. And I kind of wanted to like segue into this, but I'm just going to say it. I don't think Sean Oakman is a world beater at defensive end. In fact, I don't really think he's that
Billings
good.
Is better.
Billings is by far
much better. Yeah.
But like, I don't even think Sean Oakman might not be the best defensive end on his team.
Oakman,
yeah,
the only thing special about Oakman is his abs. And that's the only reason why he gets any credit for anything ever. Is that
he walks up
and just shows a six pack.
He might look like the Terminator, but he plays like Wally. Like, he's really just, he's not that good. I mean, when you look at the Mahomes scamper, defensive line 101 on the pass rush is never leave your feet. I remember having to run so much for leaving my feet and just like practice. Man, I don't know how you get to be a senior in college and are still consistently jumping. Like, there's just absolutely no reason for it. Then he gets absolutely, not to mention, besides the crackback block, he got absolutely shut down by every single member of our offensive line.
Last year, too.
He's just completely a non-factor at all. I don't get the hype. I never really have. Yeah, he's really big, and he'll hit those little running backs, and due to his size, they'll scatter. But when he goes up against real talent, he just kind of fades real quick. I'm not a Sean Oakman fan over here. I ain't about it at all.
I'm serious. Before that little screenshot during our game 2 years ago at the coin toss, did anybody really talk about Oakman that much? That's the first time I really started hearing his name in just general conversation. I think even Fajoco used it as a little bit of motivation in his recruiting. He kept posting side-by-side stills and stuff like that. But I didn't really hear anything about him. I mean, it's Phil Bennett's defense. It's Baylor. I mean, they aren't really known for stud defensive players to begin with.
Yeah, it's a hype machine. It's media. It's getting people excited for the game. And it's not about talent. And sure, he's a pretty decent D1 D lineman. But other than that, like in the past 2 years against us, he's done nothing. He's been a non-factor.
Someone's going to draft him in the second round or third round, and they're going to wish they waited till the fifth or sixth.
Yeah.
And it's really frustrating because when you look like at him physically and with the things he can do in the weight room, the things he can do in a 40-yard dash, he should be dominating every single person out there. But his technique and like kind of and his effort on some plays, not all plays, but it's just poor. I don't get it, and it kind of frustrates me a little bit because, I mean, I'm 5'9", 215 pounds, white, played defensive line. I wasn't obviously going to get a scholarship anywhere, and I would have killed to have that kind of just raw physical talent. Like, I mean, the dude went to Penn State. I know he had a little bit of a difficult upbringing, and I do feel for him there, but man, he had the pick of the litter when it came to like choosing what he could do, and he was supposed to be a can't miss prospect. And as of right now, I already think he's missing. And I really do think that unless he gets some like serious retooling on his game before the NFL, I think he might bust.
It's too late for that. I don't know if it's too late.
Well, I've seen a lot of people that have just radically changed their game once they get into the NFL and actually start performing well. But man, we'll see. As of right now, he just doesn't look as he's not living up to the hype. He's not where he should be. It's kind of frustrating. I'd be frustrated if I was a Baylor fan. Well, I think that is about it for today. Y'all got any parting words, guys?
I gotta go check on my wife and my son. Yeah, my newborn son. I gotta run. So that was great. Perfect timing.
Yep. Perfect. What about you, Jonathan?
No, I'm good. We'll go ahead and catch up with everybody next week, and we'll see how this week goes.
Yeah, the only other thing is we're going to try and start adding more podcasts throughout the week, shorter, maybe do a preview of the week's games on like a Thursday, some just general football talk, and bring in some new articles as well. So readers, stay tuned for that.
Absolutely. Iowa State's uniforms look like they're Ronald McDonald. I butchered that sentence, and that's okay. Texas Tech by 28. All right, guys. Y'all have a good week, and hopefully we'll get us a win on Saturday.
Sounds good. Reckon.
All right. See y'all.